Well, turning your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 1, we're continuing, of course, our study of the history of the nation of Israel. We're seeing the focus on the time of the kings, and we're seeing the transition from David to Solomon. Now, when you think of these two men, you think first David. David is a man after God's own heart, and we think the warrior and the leader. Then you think Solomon, and he's the wisest man who ever lived. Well, we're nearing the end of David's life, the great king, but it's a sad time because he's sick and he's dying. And there's confusion in the kingdom because David's about to die. And the question is, who's going to rule after him? Is it going to be Solomon, David, and God's choice? Because, see, God, through the prophet Nathan, had already told David that Solomon would be the king. Or is it going to be this Adonijah, who is one of David's sons, who's picked himself? He wants to be the king. There is confusion and conflict. David must take the lead and set the direction. David's nearing the end, and he must be clear about the plan and direction that God has for the nation. As we look at this passage, let me give you several things to think about. First of all, why is communication so important in relationships? We're going to see it this morning. David is communicating to the nation, but maybe in our families, our churches. Number two is, why is there so much conflict and confusion at the ends of David's reign? Well, it's because he's not leading, and he's not being very clear on what the people need to know. And then the last one is, what part does God's word play in leadership? And we'll see that as we go through it. The word of God must be communicated clearly, and we'll see that as we go through. Well, let me give you a proverb to begin with. Proverbs 29:18. It's a famous one. The old King James Version would say it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. And people would look at that verse and they'd say, what that means is, well, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a vision for what you want to do, the people won't survive. They won't know what to do. Well, that's really not very accurate. The newer translations capture the original better. The New King James, the NAS, and the NIV say, where there is no revelation, which is talking about God's word, the people are unrestrained. What the verse is really saying is this: without the word of God, people will be confused and there'll be discord and conflict. That's what it's saying. The word of God is the basis for direction, for right and wrong, and for order. And this morning we're going to see the problem because David's near the end of his life. He is sick. He's not being a leader. He's not controlling things. He's not setting the direction. And here's Adonijah, his son, has declared he's going to be the king. God had already told them that Solomon would be the king. David's even made a vow to Bathsheba. Don't worry, Solomon's going to be the king. That's the plan. You remember that when Solomon was born, Nathan the prophet came to David and said, not only is his name Solomon, you shall call him Jedidiah. That's Solomon's other name, which means the beloved one of the Lord. The idea there was this was going to be the one to carry on the plan. So David and the people, or most of the people, or some of the people now know that Solomon's supposed to be the leader, the king, but now Adonijah stepped forward. And if you remember Adonijah, we talked about this last week. Adonijah had this chariot and he had 50 men to run before him, and he was becoming very important and he's claiming to be the king. And so the people are confused and they're saying, who's supposed to be king? We don't even know. David must give leadership. And what David's going to have to do is go back and communicate clearly the word of God. See, the word of God was that Solomon is supposed to be the next king. You know, realize this, and you may not have known this, but with the king of Israel, when he sat on the throne, he had his own copy of the Bible. He was supposed to make his decisions based off God's word. And we're going to see that David's going to have to set the direction on the word of God, based on the word of God, as given to him by the prophet Nathan. Now, I want you to understand something. The key to leadership in the home, in the church, in businesses, whatever it is, it's got to go back to truth. Especially in the home and the church, it goes back to the word of God, and it must be communicated clearly. And we're going to talk about this morning the conflict as Adonijah wants to be the king and Solomon's supposed to be the king. What's going to happen? Let me give you some key areas to think about. We're going to look at leadership. We're going to look at God's word and talk about God's word is the basis for leadership, and communication is vital in leadership. They all go together. If you're going to lead, you must communicate clearly the word of God. Let me give you the outline. We are looking. The chapter's a long chapter, but we're in the very first section, which is the first 31 verses. We saw this last week. David grows weaker and Adonijah claims the throne. That was about the first 10 verses. And then as we continue on, David is going to be informed about what's happening. That's 11 through 31. We saw a little bit of this last week, but we'll go right through 31 this morning. Nathan tells Bathsheba what to do. They come up with a plan. Bathsheba goes in to tell David. Then Nathan comes in to tell David. And then we're going to see David's decision. And let me be honest and think about what this says. David's got a big decision to make. Is he going to do what's right, or is he going to do what's easiest? Because the easiest thing to do would just say, listen, if Adonijah's already got the position, everybody's following him, I'm too tired to fight the battle. Is David going to do what's easiest, or is David going to do what's right? And you have those choices every day. You have the natural bent to sin, which is the easiest thing to do. And every day you're going to have choices, and you're going to have to decide, are you going to do what's the easiest thing to do, or are you going to do what the right thing to do? We'll see that as we go through it. There's some powerful passage. Well, let's be reminded what's happened. David is old. He's very sick. He doesn't even know what's going on in the kingdom. Adonijah, who is the fourth son of David. The other three sons have already, the first three oldest sons are already dead. And this is the fourth son. He thinks, I'm number four. I should be it. He's going to take the opportunity here to become the king. Now, the word is already out. Solomon is supposed to be the king. And so Adonijah says he's going to do it. The problem that we see here is there's going to be confusion, because now people are confused because God has already said that Solomon will be the king. Who's going to be there? Where's the leadership? Where's the direction? This same thing happens in churches, in families, in businesses, in sports, whatever it is. Without leadership and communication, there is confusion. Well, let's see what happens. If you remember, go back to chapter 1, look at verse 7, because Adonijah decided he would get everybody to help him become the king. And notice what he did. Verse 7, he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest, and following Adonijah, they helped him. If you remember, Adonijah's David's son, he's going to be the king. He's asked Joab. Joab was David's nephew. Joab had been David's general all the way up till recently. And because Joab has done some things wrong, we said Joab is a powerful man, but Joab is not a man of character. He has killed two men that he shouldn't have killed. And so David has replaced him and put another guy by the name of Benaiah in his place. So Joab's a little upset at David. When he sees the opportunity that, you know, that Adonijah's going to be the king, he says, okay, I'll go right with him because I'll be his general. Then if you notice, there was also Abiathar the priest. At this time under David, there were two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. They'd been with David from back when David was young. We don't know why Abiathar would do this, because Abiathar's always been loyal to David. Maybe Abiathar says, if this guy's going to be the king, I could be priest by myself. I don't have to have two priests. I could be priest. Maybe that's why he's doing it. We don't know. So he's got people to help him. They have a feast. Notice verse 9. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is between Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, all the men of Judah, the king's servants. He's invited all these people to this big party to say, I'm the king. But notice verse 10. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. Now, it makes sense. You wouldn't invite Nathan the prophet because Nathan got the direct revelation from God that it's supposed to be Solomon. You wouldn't invite Benaiah because he is now the new general, the mighty man loyal to David, and of course Solomon. You don't invite the guy supposed to be the next king to your party being king. So you don't do that. So that's where they are. And what happened is we found out that these loyal men are left out. Nathan the prophet finds out about this. And he goes to Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the wife of David and the mother of Solomon. And he goes to her and he says, have you heard what's going on? And she says, what's going on? He says, Adonijah's claiming the throne. She says, well, that's not right, because God said it's supposed to be Solomon, and even David said that was right. So Nathan says, we better do something. You go in to see the king, and you go in and you tell him what's happening. And while you're telling him, then I'll come up and I'll tell him the same thing. And David's going to have to make a decision. Something's got to happen. Because they realize that if we don't do something, we'll all be dead. Because as soon as Adonijah takes the throne, he'll have us killed. So look at verse 13. David, this is Nathan talking to her. He says, go at once to King David and say to him, have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon, your son, will be king after me, and he'll sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And then notice, behold, while you're still there speaking with the king, I'll come in after you and I'll confirm your words. So that's the plan. Now, what is needed is David to take leadership. Why are there problems? I think the next slide, why are there problems? Well, there's no communication. Nobody knows what's going on. There's confusion because is it Solomon or is Adonijah? And David has not taken leadership. Well, let's see what happens Bathsheba's going to go in and see the king. Look at verse 15. So Bathsheba went into the king, into the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishai the Shunammite was ministering to the king. And we talked about this last week, and it's almost embarrassing to talk about it. But David was old, and he couldn't get warm. And they came up with this plan to go get a young virgin girl and put her in the bed with David to warm him up. That was the plan. Well, we said it didn't work, but he's still in there. She's still in there with him. Now, how do you feel that you're Bathsheba and you've got to go in to see the king and the king has this other woman in bed with him? That's the plan. But she knows she's got to go in there because if she doesn't tell David what's happening, they're all going to be dead. So she does it. Notice what it says. So Bathsheba went into the king, into the bedroom. Now, the king was very old and Abishai the Shunammite was ministering to the king. So she goes in, and you know, here's the thing what's so amazing, is when you picture David, if you're like me, you picture David as the young man fighting Goliath, or the young man who's the general, the leader, and the young king, and the one who stands for what is right, and the man who slain his 10,000s, and the man after God's own heart. You don't picture him as an old man dying in the bed, but he's dying. Because, see, the wages of sin is death. And we all come into this world in a fallen world. And because of sin as a whole, we die physically. And that's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay for our sins, to solve the spiritual problem, and also to die and rise again so He can solve the physical problem. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we're going to all rise from the dead. So here's David. He's dying. Look what happens. So she goes in, and when she goes in, he knows that she wants something. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself, as is verse 16, before the king. And the king said, "What do you wish?" He knew she was coming in for some reason. What do you want? And look what she says to him. She said to him, "My lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, 'Surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne.'" Now she reminds him that he made an oath. You swore. You said, "I swear to God, by the Lord your God," you said, "this is what God said, Solomon will be the king and sit on the throne." Now that's what David swore, and that's the plan. Notice what she goes on to say. "Now, behold, Adonijah is king. And now, my lord, the king, you don't even know it." She said, "Don't you realize what's happening out there? You said that Solomon would sit on the throne, but now Adonijah's come and he's the king and you're not aware of the situation." You know what she's doing? "David, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to take leadership. You're going to have to communicate the truth." And what David's going to have to do as a leader is he's going to have to communicate clearly what God's word is. God's word is that Solomon would be the next king. Now, why is this so important to her? Because if Adonijah becomes king, he'll kill Solomon and her. She goes on and gives some details. Look at verse 19. "He has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance. He's invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army. But he has not invited Solomon your servant." Now that verse has a lot in it. It says, first of all, he's got this party going. They're going to eat, you know, and have a big party. And then he's invited all the sons of the king. David had a number of sons. You know, David had at least seven wives. Not saying that was right. I'm just saying that's what he had. He had seven wives with a lot of sons. Says that this guy, Adonijah, has invited all the sons, except one, that's Solomon. And then he's invited Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army. Now, you notice that Joab really isn't the commander of the army right now. Benaiah is the commander of the army. He used to be commander. But he has not invited Solomon. We see the rebellion. We see the problem. Where there is no revelation, people are in confusion. Where the scripture, the word which had come to David through Nathan the prophet was Solomon is supposed to be the king. And let me tell you the truth, in whether it's leadership or wherever it is, it has to be clearly communicated truth. In our lives, we have to follow the word of God. Without the word of God, there's confusion in our homes, there's confusion in our lives and our churches. I mean, think about the church, that the word of God must be taught clearly. Leadership in a local body, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, whatever it is, whenever we gather, the word of God must be clearly communicated so we know what to do and how to live. In our lives, we must follow the word of God. In our homes, it's the same way. Whether it's dads or whoever's leading the home, it's got to be that same way. Look what she says to him. She says, verse 20, "As for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him." She puts it right to him. She says, "You're the one. You're going to have to tell. Everybody's looking to you to see what you're going to do." Everyone was looking to the king to see the direction. He must communicate clearly to the people God's plan. And that's true for us. And you know, you realize that in leadership, the leader must take charge. The leader must communicate clearly. And the leader must communicate clearly the word of God. You know this, that regardless of what you're doing, whether it's a business, your family, a church, an organization, whoever is in leadership must communicate clearly the rights and the wrongs in life. So you can't run a business the wrong way. You might run it for a while, but it won't work. Those in leadership must clearly communicate God's word truth. Well, she finishes, and look how she ends it. She says in verse 21, "Otherwise, it will come about as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers, and I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders." She says, when you die, if you don't do something about this, when you die, we're going to become offenders. He's going to kill us. He's going to take over, and we're going to be the enemy. Now, you remember the plan? Nathan said, "You go in there and talk to the king, and then while you're talking to the king, I'll come up and I'll confirm everything you say." They had a good plan because they say almost exactly the same thing. Watch what happens. While she's talking, here comes Nathan the prophet. Verse 22. "Behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, 'Here is Nathan the prophet.' And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground." Now, you can't tell it at this verse, but what happened is when Nathan the prophet came and they came to him and said, "Nathan the prophet's here," he turned to Bathsheba and said, "Go ahead and leave. Let me talk to the prophet." We can't tell it from that verse. You'll be able to tell it in just a few minutes. And so she left and he came in. And when he came in, he put his face to the ground. And then he raises this statement. "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me and shall sit on my throne?" He says, I'm confused because, I got the word from God that Solomon was going to be the king. And I told you and you announced it and you told it. And now Adonijah's pretending to be king. Have you made a change? Have you said that he's supposed to be the king? And then he goes on and notice what he says. He said, for he has gone down today, and these are almost exactly the same words. "For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commander of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they're eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah.'" So he says, here's the plan. They're having a party. And everybody's sitting around saying, "Long live King Adonijah. He's the king." And he says, "David, is this what you want? Is this the plan?" Because what he's really saying is, "I thought you said Solomon because that's what God told us." And see, in your life, you're going to make decisions and you're going to have to decide. Are you going to go back and do what the Word of God says? Are you going to do what the world says? Are you going to go with the flow? Are you going to live according to the scripture? Notice he goes on to explain. He says in verse 26, "But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Joiada, and your servant Solomon, he has not invited." Now notice how he says it. He calls himself the servant because he represents God. He is the servant of David as the prophet. And then there's Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Joiada, who is now the new general. And then notice he calls him, "and your servant Solomon." He didn't say "your son Solomon." He called him servant because he's going to serve as the king. That's the plan. He's not invited us. You can see there's a division. There's a problem. And see, by not inviting them, Nathan is saying two things. He's saying Adonijah didn't invite us, but David, did he not invite us because that's the plan and you didn't invite us because you picked him? Are we supposed to be left out on all of this? Nathan knows the truth. Now here's the key. He's put it in David's lap. What's going on, David? And David's going to have to make a big decision. And we saw this last week. David's going to have to decide, is he going to do what's right or what's easy? See, we already know that doing what's right in a fallen world is the harder thing to do. And doing what's easy, which is to go with the flow and to go what the world says, is the easier thing to do. And David's going to have to decide, is he going to do what's right? Say Solomon is to be the king, that's what God's word said. Or is he going to say, I'm too tired to fight this battle. I'm too sick. I'm too tired. If Adonijah's already going to be the king, just let it go. There's no sense fighting this thing. That's the easy thing to do. And for you, many of you college students on that campus, there are people going to be saying things that are totally contrary to the Scripture. There are going to be people wanting you to do things that are contrary to the Scripture. And the easiest thing to do is to go right along with them. The hardest thing to do is to do what's right. And you're going to have choices every day. Every one of us in this room have choices every day to either do what's right and do what's easy. See, the flesh, the natural bent to sin, notice it's the natural bent to sin. That's the easiest thing to do. But to stand for Jesus Christ, to live by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the harder thing to do. And every day, you're going to have to make choices. Some of them look little bitty, and you say, oh, it's little bitty. It won't make any difference. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. Because it doesn't matter whether it's some little bitty thing that you say, well, I'll just go along like everybody else, or some big thing, because the truth is how you start and what you do is going to affect you. And you have choices every day to either say, I'm just going to go with the flow, that's what's easiest, or I'm going to stand for what is right, and that's what's the hardest. David's going to have to make a decision. And it's going to be a hard one. Because he's sick, he's old, and he just soon die. And he doesn't want to fight this final battle. But if he's going to do what's right, he's going to have to do what's right. Let's see what happens. Because he comes in, you know, and he tells and he says, verse 27. Has this thing been done by my lord the king? And have you not shown your servants who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king? In verse 27, he says, have you done this? What's going to happen? And by the way, in our churches and our families, it's the same truth. That the leader, a person, is going to have to stand for what is right and clearly communicate the truth of God's word. In the church especially, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, small group, Bible study, whatever it is, whoever is in charge, who's ever leading, is going to have to stand for what is right and clearly communicate the word of God. Because that's what it goes back to. It's the word of God. Whether it's in a family, when the dad stands, because see, the dad is in the home, the father is the head. Father's been placed to be the spiritual leader and to lead that family. And the father, he can do easy. He can just say, oh, let them do whatever they want to do. Or he can stand for what is right and clearly communicate the truths of God's word. That's the harder thing to do. Well, what's going to happen? David's going to make a decision. Notice what he does. Then King David said, call Bathsheba to me. Remember, he had already put her out. Now he's calling her back. She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. Now I want you to think about what she's thinking. She could come back in there and David say to her, well, I've thought about this, but it's too far gone. I can't worry about this right now. I'm sorry. I'm just, Adonijah's just going to be the king. I can't worry about it. That's what he could say. And if she walks back in there and he says that, she knows she's dead. What does he say? She walks in, stands in the presence of the king, verse 29. The king vowed and said, as the Lord lives, he's making a vow to God, who has redeemed my life from all distress, God is the Redeemer. Surely as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, surely as I've already said, your son shall be king after me and shall sit on sit on my throne in my place. As I've already said that, I will indeed do so this day. Now he's going to do something unusual. He says, today Solomon will become the king. Now usually you wait till the king dies and then somebody else becomes king. David says, while I'm still alive, I'm going to put Solomon on the throne. So there is no doubt. That's the harder thing to do. That's what God said to do. Solomon will be the king. I will do it today. Boy, that's powerful. What's her response? Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king and said, may my lord King David live forever. The plan is to make Solomon the king. He's going to communicate to the people clearly the word of God. That is Solomon as king. Every one of us, you're going to have to stand for what is right. It's the harder thing. And you're going to have to clearly communicate the truths of God's word. Now, next time, we're going to stop here because we've got some things to do for college, for the college folks. And we're going to see, how is David going to communicate this? And what's going to happen? And let me tell you this. What do you think about Adonijah? You're having a party. Everybody's cheering and going, long live King Adonijah. And then somebody comes up and says, David has made Solomon king. He's already sitting on the throne. Uh-oh. You're in trouble. And what if everybody in your group goes, thanks for the party, but we're going to have to go now. Thanks so much. We're going to have to go. What would you do if you were Adonijah? You've openly rebelled against the new king and against David and against the word of God. Is there grace and mercy for Adonijah? Let me ask you this question. When you sin, and you do, and when I sin, and I do, we go contrary to the word of God. Is there grace and mercy for us when we sin? The answer is yes. We're going to see some of that next time. What have we seen this morning? There's the problem. No leadership, no communication, confusion. Nathan and Bathsheba go tell David the problem that Adonijah has taken the throne instead of Solomon. David takes leadership. He does what is hard. He does what is right. He goes back to the revelation and says, Solomon will be the king. Let me give you some applications. The first one is realize the problems that develop when there is no leadership. There has to be leadership in the home, in the church, in what organizations, there has to be leadership. Think about, first of all, the home. Men, it is your responsibility to lead. God has placed you as the head of the home. You're to lead spiritually, financially. You're loving leadership. You love your wife. You love your children. You train them up in the word of God. You must lead. Whether in the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1 talks about men who are raised in responsibilities. They are to lead. And both men and the family, men and the church are to lead based on God's word. And what must they do? They must clearly communicate God's word. In the home, the dad is going to take leadership and communicate clearly to his family the word of God and what is right and what is wrong. And in the local body, the men who have been raised up in places of leadership must communicate clearly to the church as a whole what is the truth and how to live. See, what we have today is in many churches, you don't have the teaching of the word of God. You don't have it clearly communicated. In fact, you have people trying to do things that they think will draw the crowd or will entertain the people. People don't need to be entertained. They need to know the truth of the Bible. That's why leadership must clearly communicate the word of God. That's the key. So whether it's the dad in the home or the leaders in a local body, it has to be that way. That takes us to number two, is remember God's word is the basis for lives and leadership. That's the foundation. We go back to the scripture. It has to be that way. That's why we have to study it and know it and apply it. That's the basis. That takes us to number three, and remember that God's word, his plans and his truths must be communicated clearly, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, even if it's in a business or whatever it is, it's got to be communicated. So people know what is right. We live in a culture where we've lost our foundation as a culture, not as a local body, but as a culture. And the people in our culture don't even know the rights and wrongs anymore. They think they do. They've heard some things, but they think that everything can be right or wrong. And then people say, whatever's right for you is right for you. Whatever's right for me is right for me. And so there really is no foundation. They need that foundation. People need to know what is right and what is wrong and how to live. We must communicate clearly the truths of God's word. May we base our lives on God's word, clearly communicating the word as we stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these truths. Lord, we realize that when people don't take leadership, there are going to be problems. And Lord, thank you that there are men in homes who take leadership and in churches. And Lord, we know that the whole basis as we take leadership is the foundation is the Word of God, and the Word of God clearly communicated. Lord, as we look at David's life, he did what was hard, what was the right thing to do. And I pray for each of us, Lord, as we go out these doors, as we seek to live for you, that we will do what's right in a fallen world rather than what's easy. May we live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name.